Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. So here's what the former president had to say.
It's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance.
All right, yeah, right, see, because you're supposed to, right? There's a little bit of...
I can't believe he did that one.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:13, also streaming live on the YouTube and now on the Twitter or X. So if
we
you want to watch the program, or if you, you don't even have to pay attention like to the video, but you can just have it on that way. A lot of different ways to access the program. And if you want to check out the podcast, that is up on our website anytime on our podcast site. You can get our podcasts anywhere you get your podcasts or your Spotify.
And we should point out, like, that page, by the way, has everything on it. So you miss an interview or you miss Tausch one day, it's on
Tausch
there.
Is up there every
Greg month. Clips all of the show.
The aforementioned Greg Pancake Hill, who produces the program. Eric and Vinny here with you until 9 o'clock. We'll keep Debbie on the cars as well, and Adam's in the newsroom checking any breaking details. Want to get to this story, and it's kind of a heavy start.
My thoughts and deepest condolences go out to Elijah's family, who are enduring unimaginable pain. Elijah was a young boy whose life was tragically cut short.
But what if he did it? I want to ask you to remember that phrase and keep it in mind. I'll bring it back as we close our conversation on what we're about to detail here. These first charges that we have in connection with the death of 3-year-old Elijah Voot. It's a little boy who went missing in Manitowoc County earlier this year.
After thorough investigation by law enforcement, the Manitowoc County District Attorney's Office has issued charges in connection with the death of Elijah.
So that is Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline LaBrie in her announcement revealing authorities now believe Elijah was killed and left to be discovered months later in a rural area of Manitowoc County. Today, Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, are due in court for an initial appearance on these new charges. I thought they already had him, right? They did, and they do. But heretofore, Bauer and Vang, who remain in custody, have only been charged related to child neglect, and they've been held since unable to make bail. But this is the first time that they or anyone is charged directly in connection with Elijah's death. Here are the charges. Katrina Bauer, Elijah's mother, chronic neglect of a child with consequence of death, child neglect, and obstructing an officer. Jesse Vang, physical abuse of a child causing death, hiding a corpse, and obstructing an officer. So let's dig into this a little bit and what these charges mean. We already have new information here in the criminal complaint suggesting that Vang's alleged abuse of Elijah caused his death and then that Vang went and hid his body. The criminal complaint is awful. I'm not through all of it. It's 18 pages long.
Oof.
It is extremely thorough. It details new evidence that we hadn't heard before. Some of it is circumstantial. Some of it is video evidence that they will be submitting, you imagine, in court. Some of it contains text messages between the mother, Bauer, to Vang, the boyfriend, while he was being interviewed even by law enforcement months ago, right after Vang reported Elijah missing. He was spinning a story about how, I don't know, I took a nap and he must have gotten out. Well, it's interesting what they detail in the criminal complaint. Prosecutors here say he was communicating with the mom at the time via text. She sent him a text suggesting, quote, say you guys were taking a nap and he left, which has caused authorities to believe, obviously, that that was made up. So that's just one of the alleged text exchanges between the two. Other words, she said, stop, don't say too much, no, and shh. As he's talking to police, the mom is suggesting, hey, don't tell him anything.
Wow.
That is in the criminal complaint. Some other evidence in the criminal complaint, and I think it's important to point out, too, Vang here is not charged, nor is mom, with like first degree intentional homicide, which, again, I'm not a lawyer, but basically that means you plan to kill somebody and then you carried out that plan. They're not saying that. They're saying that Elijah Vu ended up dead, and it's the result of actions that these
from
two took.
These two, okay.
Right. But yep. Not necessarily that they went out and intended to kill him, which would be a much higher burden of proof.
Correct.
Even if it were true. So that's really important as we get into what are they going to be able to prove in court. Another thing I saw, and I'm sorry, this is heartbreaking, but in terms of detailing the abuse that this poor little toddler was enduring at the hands of Jesse Vang, again, according to authorities, they have a whole bunch of things in this 18-page criminal complaint about videos that were sent via Facebook Messenger back and forth between Bauer and Vang. So this is, the child is staying with Vang.
Okay.
Remember there was the allegation that mom sent him there to get some behavior correction?
To get him right.
Because he was such a bad boy.
Right.
And she needed Vang to step in and put him through quote-unquote boot camp. In one of the videos, the child is seen in the custody of Vang saying, according to authorities, "I be good boy, I promise. I don't want to live with uncle no more. No more uncle. I be good boy. Sorry."
My gosh.
And this little boy's mom alleged to have responded, "Aw." Like, "Oh, that's so cute." Another exchange. And this, as Vang has said, "Remember, he's in boot camp. And I hate when I tell him to come in the room and he's like, don't hit me. And when I have to pick him up and he's like, ow, you're hurting me." Vang messaged that he's a faker and references that the child has been praying with him. Bauer mentions various other things about moving him around and him being in the custody of Vang. And this goes on and on, page after page of these exchanges. So authorities are using this to build their case of chronic abuse that was...
But is there any evidence in there to indicate that they are directly responsible for his death?
So that's why I brought up the earlier statement. What if he did it? And I recall this, another criminal case I was covering. It was a court case when I was over at TMJ4. And it's covered a trial like gate to gate. So you were there every day and you heard the evidence or whatever. And
a number of reporters there.
Yeah, right. And you know what that's like. You go to court. Mm-hmm. This is like your story, right?
Yep.
And a number of the reporters were following this story. And if I recall correctly, it was like a child abuse case as well. And it was a terrible case. The accusations were awful. And the jury had the case. So closing arguments have been made. The jury has been given instructions. They're out there deliberating. And so as reporters do in that downtime, we're just sitting there talking. What do you think? Mm-hmm. What did you hear? And there was broad consensus that, tragic as the allegations were, that the prosecution had not effectively made its case and that the defense attorneys poked enough holes in that to get a not guilty verdict, even if, right? And so a bunch of us were saying, I don't think they have it. It's probably not guilty. And there was another reporter, and she says, "Not guilty? Well, what if he did it?" And all of the rest of us looked at her like, did you go to civics? Like, that's not really the burden of proof for a criminal trial in America. What if he did it?
Can't just decide that way, right?
Yeah. So to your question is there enough here? There's a lot of really bad stuff in here.
Terrible things.
But will prosecutors be able to connect that enough beyond a reasonable doubt where the story of, well, he just walked out, you know, doesn't hold? And Vang or Bauer in this case would skate on those charges.
Now, there is video, you said, of him driving in that area where they found the remains.
Another piece of evidence, authorities say they do have video, right, of the car that Vang is known to drive, driving around the time that they believe his body may have been left in the area where it was found. But there again, is that a smoking gun, quote unquote? No, it's a really important piece of evidence. Kind of connects him to there. But it's not necessarily causal. So there are a lot of these pieces of evidence. And again, an 18-page criminal complaint against the two. There's a lot in there. But is it enough? Ultimately, will be, you know, like, this isn't necessarily a slam dunk. And so prosecutors will have a lot of work to do. We do know that Vang and Bauer are expected to be back in court today. Vang could spend the rest of his life in prison. I think if Bauer is convicted on all the charges, that's the mom. She could do 60 years, which would essentially be almost life in prison for her as well, if convicted on all charges and getting the maximum. Bauer and Vang due back in court this afternoon.
It is essential to remember that those charged are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
A25 from Wisconsin's Morning News. You got more jokes today?
Yeah, I got a few.
I like campaign jokes.
Right? Some self-deprecating zingers,
Bing, pow, blammo.
Got plenty of those. So, okay, we'll start with this. So Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump, both in Michigan today. Obviously, Michigan, one of the big states they're looking for. Another one of the states they need. Wisconsin is also on the map, if you will. And the VP was in Wisconsin Thursday.
Election day is in 19 days. And here in Wisconsin, early voting starts next Tuesday, October 22nd.
So she was in La Crosse during that comment. She also spent some time in Green Bay. Also was here in Milwaukee earlier in the day at UW-Milwaukee. While she was in La Crosse, the VP got a little bit of heckling.
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Bing.
Snap. So Harris, again, spending the night on the campaign trail. Come on. Harris spending the night on the campaign trail in Michigan today, again, with the former president. So while she spent the night on the trail.
Not with the former president.
Well, right. They're both. Yeah,
now
they're
that would be something.
Together. They were almost together. Thursday night, New York City, Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation dinner. This is the dinner that happens every 4 years before the election when the candidates are both there. But this time, Harris was not.
Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer.
Snap.
Governor of Michigan.
Trump going after Harris there. And that's what you do at these events. So this is a charity event. Again, happens every 4 years. Candidates are always there. Actually, the dinner's every year. But
Was Dolan there?
Dolan was there, yep.
Former Archbishop of Milwaukee, now Cardinal of New York.
You can see him in every shot of when the former president is up there. And both candidates always use some self-deprecating humor on this. They always kind of take some snaps at the other candidate. And Harris wasn't there, but she did send a video where she spoke and addressed the crowd, and she was with Molly Shannon from SNL.
Is there anything that you think that maybe I shouldn't bring up tonight?
Well, don't lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor.
Indeed, especially thy neighbor's election results.
Oh, all right.
Zing.
So a little bit more.
Molly Shannon was playing Mary Catherine Gallagher
there. Yes, you're right.
Her famous character.
Mm-hmm, with the plaid skirt and all that.
And it goes like this.
So here's what the former president had to say.
It's a true pleasure to be with you this evening. Amazing pleasure. And these days, it's really a pleasure anywhere in New York without a subpoena for my appearance.
All right, yeah, right. See, because you're supposed to, right? There's a little bit of...
I can't believe he did that one.
You know, you didn't think he would take any shots at himself?
No, he would take that. No, that particular one.
Right. And he did address Mayor Adams at one point. Hey, he's like, you're peanuts compared to what I've got. Anyway, a little bit more on taking shots at yourself.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing. There's nothing to say. I guess I just don't see the point of taking shots at myself when other people have been shooting at me for a hell of a long time.
Assassination jokes. Yikes. Wow. Well, if there's one person who can tell
right,
those
I said
jokes.
No one else could make that joke. You'd be appalled. We should not joke about this. But I guess he's the guy that got shot at, so he gets to make the joke.
He did tease Harris, saying that she's busy hunting right now with her VP candidate. They're out in the Midwest hunting. They're making fun of VP Wells there for his hunting stuff. Also, teased her about her laugh. Jim Gaffigan, Milwaukee guy, was the MC.
President Biden couldn't be here tonight. The DNC made sure of that.
Ooh, and that one got a cool reception, kind of ripping the DNC for taking Biden off the ticket. He said,
I guess I'm the only one that reads history.
Trump also went after Biden.
Joe has almost disappeared from view. The only way he could be seen less as if he had a show on CNN. They had nothing.
Thank you.
Bing, pow.
So, and you'll see on the headlines and all that, you know, Trump attacks or Trump slays Harris and all that. But this is like an expected thing. They do this again. Every 4 years, the candidates are at this. This one time, she didn't go.
Yeah,
although,
what's your read on why she didn't go?
Unless it was that important to be on the campaign trail. So, yeah, I agree with you that I'm skeptical
I think that's
of that.
Not it. It's something else.
The other thing I wondered is if maybe she didn't want to be seen having to react to whatever jokes that he would have.
Maybe
that was part of it. Clinton, you may recall, sat there and, I mean, he was nasty toward Clinton. Even booze. He got booze 4 years ago at some of the stuff he said about Clinton in front of her while she sat there.
Eight years ago. But do the math. Right.
Four years ago, it was COVID time, so they did it via Zoom.
Lame.
Yeah. Mondale was the last candidate not to show. And Trump commented on that last night, saying, well, you know what happened.
How'd that work out?
That time.
The last Democrat not to attend this important event was Walter Mondale, and it did not go very well for him.
We should also point out there is big news expected today. So the federal judge in former president's election fraud case, this is the one brought on by special counsel Jack Smith, she has denied a motion from Trump's camp to delay releasing new evidence against him in this election interference case. That will come out today.
How much more is there? We just had the first release like a week and a half ago.
165 pages worth.
And that one was full of stuff.
This one is also expected to have some evidence against the former president. Of course, the president's camp not happy that this is coming out today, but the judge did say, hey, you can always release an argument as well. This is from Katrina Kaufman from CBS.
And she also pointed out that Trump is welcome to submit his arguments before the election if he wants the public to see both sides of this issue.
Yes, if he wanted to defend any of the actions that he's accused of, he could do so. Unlikely, but it does come out today.
8:32 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
What happens now overseas after news broke on Thursday that Yahya Sinwar had died, that Israeli military had killed him? He was known as the Osama bin Laden of Gaza, and now he is gone. He was known as the architect behind the October 7th, 2023 attack, and now he is gone.
Israeli leaders are now pushing for the quick release of the remaining 101 hostages still held by Hamas. Speaking directly to Hamas fighters yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu said, whoever lays down his weapon and returns our hostages, we will allow him to go and live. Netanyahu says Israel will keep fighting until all the hostages are free.
ABC's Christiane Cordero. I have to admit, the first thing I thought when I heard that this happened yesterday, the first thing in your mind was, well, shoot, what is going to happen to the hostages? Because there's kind of a fear there that, like, would they harm them, kill them, do something with the hostages after losing their quote-unquote leader on Thursday?
Hamas has suggested that they've got somebody else ready to step in. This doesn't damage them in any way. And in terms of your question there, I think that's one possible take or outcome. The other would be Hamas has continued to hold these hostages for more than a year now because that's their only piece of leverage.
That's the only thing they can bargain.
Crushed militarily by Israel.
You're right.
So their only piece of leverage to sort of force a ceasefire that doesn't cost all of them their lives would be, okay, but we still have these hostages. So is there some sort of deal in the works? It seems like today it's all about optimism. Well, this provides Israel an off-ramp. This provides Israel an out. I would caution, as long as those hostages are still being held, doesn't seem like Israel is losing an appetite to continue waging this war.
Absolutely. They're not going to stop if there's still lives to be saved.
And I think, you know, you need to look at this as one of the results of Israel not prematurely going to a ceasefire. There have been calls for a ceasefire for months. We have to have a ceasefire. We have to have a ceasefire. Okay, if they had a ceasefire even 2 days ago, this murderous terrorist wouldn't be dead. He'd still be there somewhere plotting his next October 7th attack. And that's been Israel's point. I told you the analogy, and I don't know if it works. You can tell me if it works or not. Do you think it works?
Yes, go ahead.
You know, when you get sick and you have an infection, right? Bacterial infection, and they give you antibiotics. You got a sinus infection, ear infection, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
What does it say on the bottle?
It says take until finished.
Take all of this medication, until finished. Yeah. Because what happens is, you start getting 2-3 days into your antibiotic treatment, which might be a 10-day supply, right? And you start to feel better. And the doc always says, like, you're going to start to feel better after 48 hours or whatever. But it's important you take all this medication because that bacteria is still inside of you. Mm. It's going to be debilitated. It's not going to be making you as sick, but that's still there. We need to make sure that we get everything so we kill this off. If you only take your medicine for a couple of days, it will come back and reinfect you. And it might even come back worse. And that is the analogy I draw here for why Israel, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but why Israel is insisting we are not done until we're done. 8:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News. Running up against it here on a Friday morning. Got to get to this. Every week we talk about various things that might make their way into the rundown for the show. Some of them don't. So we asked Greg Pancake Hill to whip up a little something with the leftovers in a segment we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast? Let's raise this
great balls of fire. All right, I'm about to say a lot of words that don't sound like they can be said on the radio, but I assure you they can be said on the radio.
Okay.
Vince, what do you typically say?
You're the police of that.
Typically. So now, earlier this week was the 2024 Conquer Championship. Now, before I hit the dump button, I'll throw it out to the group. Does anyone know what a conquer is?
C-O-N-K-E-R. Okay.
No,
oh, is that a shell, a fish?
Ah, close with the shell. It's a tree nut. And what it is, a conquer, is a sport. It's a game that's been played. Maybe not a sport. It's a game that's been played for centuries. What you do, you put these, what they're called, conquer nuts, easy now, which come from the horse chestnut trees. They are called conkers. You drill through them, and then you thread a boot string through them. You have one. Your opponent has another. The goal is to smash your conquer nut against the others in an effort to break your opponent's conquer. You each take turns. Whoever's conquer smashes first loses.
Do you get to wear, like, hockey gloves or something?
No, they, like, dangle, so you have to, so you, there's really no impeding on the, okay. I suppose it could get a little dicey with the knuckles.
Yeah.
Competition gets even more fierce. Earlier this week, a champion was crowned in the town of Southwick, just a small town in central England. Of course, this is an overseas game. A champion was crowned, but of course, y'all, we got controversy.
That's nuts.
Indeed. But BBC has the report, and you cannot laugh. No laughing on the BBC report.
King Conker, otherwise known as 82-year-old David Jenkins, is being investigated after finally winning the title on his 46th attempt. It turns out there was something unusual in his pocket.
Okay, take it easy.
You said we couldn't laugh.
As you thought, that was good. What makes this story even better is the great job of reporting it as they toss to the BBC reporter.
The world of conkers has gone bonkers.
Okay.
There you go.
Right. It's it most certainly has.
Yes. Love it. Trust me, this is just the beginning.
The world of conkers has gone bonkers with allegations of cheating at the highest level.
No.
The controversy is focused on this man, King Conker, also known as 82-year-old David Jenkins. He's accused of using a conker made of steel and obliterating his opponent's nuts with one hit.
Mm.
No.
You said we couldn't laugh.
Nope.
No.
Not laughing.
So you just slaughtered in controversy this whole competition. This is this steel conker was used to easily beat the other opponents, right? Well, sure enough, there is video evidence now that is going around and it is currently under investigation.
This is the phone footage the committee has been examining. Mr. Jenkins in the green appears to put one conker in his pocket, then takes out another from a different pocket and throws it into the crowd. Could the one still in his pocket be made of steel?
Okay, so we all caught up.
Yes.
The guy used in this competition allegedly used a steel conker, which, again, obliterated his opponent's nuts. The King Conker has competed in this competition for over 40 years, finally won the entire thing, but he was accused of this violation. Now, King Conker, of course, has denied the allegations. This is taking the UK by storm. There were so many British media reports that I had to comb through, but this one was my favorite. Now, we take pride in being impartial in the news that we deliver, right? Listen to this reporter from Sky News. Pay attention to how she ends her report here.
David Jenkins won the men's title in the World Conker Championships in Northamptonshire on Sunday. There he is. But afterwards, organizers say a steel chestnut was found in his pocket. He's denied using it in the tournament, saying he only had it with him for humor value.
Humor value.
Did you catch the end there? Only had it for humor value, and she really can't hide her true feelings behind it.
Tournament saying he only had it with him for humor value.
Not buying it.
No, no.
Doesn't seem to be the case yet.
So we're still under investigation. Now, what's important to note is
that
King Conker still has his crown, again, 40 years after trying. This is an 82-year-old man, you guys.
Is this your game?
For real. He just won right now. Lathered in controversy, and the investigation is still going on almost after a week. However, it looks like the King Conker, that is, will keep his crown this year. However, is it a crown of gold? Is it a crown of steel? Or is it just a bunch of nuts?
And obliterating his opponent's nuts with one hit.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 68 degrees today under sunny skies, and that's not even the nicest day of the weekend ahead. Saturday, high 70, sunny as well. Mostly sunny on Sunday, high 75. We'll take it.
So Saturday should be great.
Saturday is perfect. You know what? The gods have smiled on this event for you over a number of years.
Man, you're right. We've had a couple of good years in a row for
sure. Eric's got his big, what do we call it now? Breakthrough T1D. Formerly JDRF walk coming up tomorrow, Greenfield Park.
Mm-hmm, for type 1 diabetes. And just want to say a quick thank you to everybody. A lot of people donated to the cause. I put together a team. I'm part of the event tomorrow and super excited about it. And a lot of people donated. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. If you're interested in taking a look at it, just text the word WALK to 855-616-1620. If you'd like to see what the team is all about that we're doing tomorrow.
Do you have your stories in there, too? The Garrett Mitchell story is really interesting.
So, yeah, I'm at my 40th year of diabetes, so I'm in there. The Garrett Mitchell story that we ran earlier is in there, and then another one about Morgan and another one about Anna, which are local T1D ambassadors who are thriving as well.
Speaking of baseball, you got that one call from... So Cleveland Guardians are against the Yankees, right?
Yes.
In the ALCS. There was a game-tying home run.
Big Christmas has tied it!
So that's B.A., Brian Anderson from TBS, with that call. They call him Big Christmas because his last name is Noel. But there's an even better call. You want to hear the better one?
Yes.
The Spanish one? Here we go.
Plato Batazo! ¡Acaba de empatar en el encuentro!